The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob's engineering and producing the show. He's got his fingers all over the board, that high-tech space age board here at Bustos Media in Tucson, and our starship Buckmaster during the noon hour right on 10:30. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's the midweek edition, the last Wednesday of June 26, 2019. You are listening to Tucson's Voice, 10:30, trusted local news and talk. Got our worldwide live listening. People can listen to this program. If you have a computer, you can listen to the program live anywhere in the world. We also make sure all of our podcasts are up in a very timely manner. My assistant, Rose Brad, always makes sure we get they're usually up about an hour or two after the conclusion of the program, so people can hear our program on their schedule 24/7. The live line number 790-2040. Certainly a lot to cover during the hour, first half hour, talking with Pima County Supervisor District 3 Democrat Sharon Bronson with us, talking about all the big news about Pima County's budget. And then we've got Martha McSally for a half an hour in the second half of the program. With me in studio is Supervisor Bronson. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill, and it's great to see water in the Santa Cruz again.
Yeah, I know the budget's really important, but I'm going to begin today with water in the Santa Cruz. That seems to be what everybody wants to talk about. Maybe it's the time of year, and as we're waiting for the water to really start flowing in the Santa Cruz. But no, water has returned to the Santa Cruz for the first time since the 1940s. The piece in the Star, front page piece, pretty much going over what looks like a win-win situation. There was some concern of Pima County flood control officials about risks from buildup of vegetation that the water release could generate. But generally, it's positive, isn't it?
I think it's very positive, and I think tomorrow there's another event around Mission Gardens where we're going to see the Gila top minnow being reintroduced to that stretch of the Santa Cruz.
Which minnow?
The Gila top minnow.
Huh.
And I don't know if it's still endangered, but it is an Arizona native fish, and it was once very prevalent in the Santa Cruz. It'll be great to see that. And what's good news there is that the water, which is wastewater that's been treated to A-plus levels, is good enough for the fish. So
yeah,
hopefully they'll prosper.
Well, let's hope so. And Mission Gardens has been a real success story. Former TUSD Superintendent Roger Pfeiffer has been so involved with that project.
It's actually an amazing project.
A lot of people have been involved, but he's kind of been spearheading it.
He certainly has, and if you haven't been down and visited, you should, because they have native plants that, and some from Father Kino, some fig trees, and they're restoring the area, the vegetation to what it might have looked like a century or so ago.
Let's see, June 18th, you and your colleagues, the vote was 4-1. With Supervisor Elias voting no, did accept a proposal from Pima County Supervisor Allie Miller to consider what's called a property tax neutral budget. And as a result of the vote, the staff are now evaluating the various scenarios. And also as a result of the vote, for the first time in recent memory, I think you'd have to go back 20, 25 years, we are starting the fiscal year without a brand new budget, right?
That's correct. When I actually first got on the board, we were adopting budgets in August, but that was because the state legislature had not completed their But legislative
I remember
session.
Those days where they actually stopped the clock up in Phoenix, and basically it could take maybe 4 or 5 hours into January 1 before they came up with a budget.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that happened for a couple of straight years.
It did, and we can't adopt our budget till we know what the state is, what state cost shifts are going to occur, what's going to happen to us as a result of new state statutes. So
there's a big meeting coming up on July the 2nd. So the budget and the state law does allow for these carryovers.
The state law does for a couple of months.
Yeah.
And so it's not going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. In recent memory, we've always adopted a budget before June 30th.
What is a property tax neutral budget?
If you're looking at the state statute, mm-hmm. a property tax neutrality or truth in taxation means that it really just applies to your primary tax, your flood control district tax, and your library tax. And it simply means that you can't, to get to the tax neutral, you can't really spend any more money than you have in previous years, but accounting for some growth. So it's not, it doesn't account for inflation. It doesn't account for some of the things that we see. It only accounts for new growth in construction. And so it's really difficult to get to a tax neutral budget at that point. And Maricopa County hasn't had a tax neutral budget in at least four years, and they certainly didn't adopt one this year when it comes to those three property tax rates. They kept the rate the same, but they grew the budget by $38 million in the primary and I think about 1.2 in the library district, and then another 3+ in the flood control district, which allows them then to take that money and use it for capital projects. What Supervisor Miller is talking about is slightly different. She's looking at the total tax burden, Pima County tax burden, and in addition to those three mm-hmm. items. And so that's where she wants to get to the point where, and to do that, we'd have to reduce the budget by about $10 million. So that's what she's looking for. But it's all of the Pima County taxing jurisdictions, not just the three I mentioned.
There were some tax shifts from the legislature. I think they added up to about $88 million, and that's $3 million more than last year, right?
That's $3 million more than last year, absolutely.
And hadn't been these tax shifts, you wouldn't have really any problems with this property tax
neutral.
It's
$3 million plus the $7 million in retirement benefits that mm-hmm. we have. So that's $10 million. And if we had gotten that $10 million, we could be at a tax neutral levy as defined by statute.
Mm-hmm. So from what we understand, Supervisor Elias voted no because one of the reasons was he's not happy that early childhood education was not part of the Pima County budget. What were your thoughts on early childhood education?
Well, I think everybody, we all certainly agree that early childhood education is a worthy, not laudable goal. The question is, how do we pay for it and who pays for it? And, at this point, we can't fix our roads. We've got several other issues that are outstanding that we're statutorily responsible for. And so I don't think we have the fiscal ability to take on that task. I think the conversations we're having with the community, and I think the community is also having, is that we need to look at perhaps a special taxing district, much like JTED.
Mm-hmm.
Where there would be their own board, there would be some real transparency and accountability, and public schools will be very much a part of that process. But if we could get enabling legislation and then get voter approval for the special taxing district, I think that would be the preferred alternative, and we could get buy-in from the community that way.
790-2040 is our live line number on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson, representing District 3, is with me in studio. There is the possibility here that you could have the two Republican board members, Steve Christie and Allie Miller, voting no if this budget is not fully tax neutral to their liking. And you could have Richard Elias voting, I guess, no, because he's not happy about no early childhood education. Then you would have a situation where the vote would be 3-2 against. Then what happens?
Then we all take a deep breath.
Because then you don't have a new budget.
Well, we would not have a new budget, but what legally would occur if we could not reach a consensus or a majority is that we would then revert to last year's budget, which would mean last year's levy, and that means that there would be no raises for staff. The $5 million, the extra $5 million out of general fund, we were allocating for neighborhood streets for transportation would disappear, and there would be there would be major consequences. I'm sure our Sheriff Napier has asked that we not consider that, and has asked that we not consider freezing positions because mm-hmm. he needs them. But again, I'm hopeful, as you saw on our last meeting, there was a consensus among at least four members of the board across party lines, and there was real conversation, meaningful conversation, about how we could best achieve, and if we could achieve, without harming the delivery of service, a neutral budget from a tax standpoint. And I'm hopeful that come next Tuesday, that conversation will continue and we will get a majority to support this budget. Not if we do not, then there's going to be some real consequences for our community and for our employees.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. Sharon Bronson will stick around for segment number two. But as we transition into segment number two, I want to tell everybody, Supervisor Bronson, about my favorite bakery in town. And this is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve has made a large investment in a new grill and everything else that he needs to make the breakfast going so well. Now they're open at 6:30 each morning for that hot breakfast. A wide variety of items, including blueberry pancakes. That sounds pretty good. I've had those. Supervisor Bronson, what about this? Chocolate pancakes.
Anything that has chocolate in it has to be good.
There you go. Bob also voting in the control room for the chocolate pancakes. And then let's go with a couple of scrambled eggs. I like mine on the rather moist side. Then I like the hash browns. So there's a really good breakfast right there waiting for you. The Buckmaster Special at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, monasdanishbakery.com. And, of course, there's a link at buckmastershow.com to all of our great partners. So let's take a break right here. We'll be back more to talk about this very serious budget situation developing in Pima County, but right after we take the break right now.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. One of those spots we just heard was Bob Dio's voice. He's voicing that. Take a bow there, Bob. Doing the 32nd daily Green Things announcement. And then I like to add to that that it's a 13-acre site and has Zocalo. Many of us remember Zocalo. It used to be over at Country Club and Broadway, all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, Europe. Guess what? It's over at Green Things. It's part of the Green Things family. So you go over there, you get all your plants, then take a look at the five shops at Zocalo Village. Good starting place, greenthingsaz.com over by the Rito River. And Supervisor Bronson, a lot of people go over that area. It's become like a destination now over at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Of course, there's the Brandy Fenton Park over there.
The Brandy Fenton is a much-used park.
Yep.
And that's thanks to Farmer Supervisor Ann Day.
Mm-hmm.
And she, when Brandy was killed, worked with the residents of the foothills to establish that park. Today it is one of our most treasured parks.
I miss Supervisor Day. I'll tell you, that was a tragic accident up there on Sunrise.
It really was.
It's been like 5 or 6 years or something, maybe longer.
And it was kind of sad because right when she was killed, several days later, we were dedicating the crossing on Oracle. That would allow animals to cross without having to go across the road itself.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things she championed, and she was going to be there to help celebrate that. But, of course, events intervened, and we lost her.
All right. We're in the first segment, for folks just joining us, Pima County on Tuesday the 2nd, the supervisors have probably one, I think, and I've been around, what, over 30 years, I think this is one of the most important meetings that Pima County supervisors will be holding in many, many years. This is about determining the budget and whether or not this property tax neutral budget will take effect. And I understand you need about, you need to find $10 million to get to that property tax neutral area, Supervisor Bronson. How would you get there? $10 million doesn't seem like, I mean, all that much in a, you know, in a billion plus budget, but where are you going to cut 10?
Well, the reality is that let's talk about that $1.3 billion.
Okay.
Much of it is money that is either federal or state money that is dedicated to certain projects, and we can't move that money around. Mm-mm. The money we collect from local property tax, I think it's about $500 million, somewhere in that neighborhood. So we're looking at that pot of money, not the entire $1.3 million.
What are some points here? I've got about 5 minutes. What do you want? What are some points you want the public to understand about this?
I guess number one, the current budget that was the presented by County Administrator Huckleberry actually has a 7-cent decrease in the primary rate. So I think that's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, how do we get to $10 million if that's what will, if we can do it without disrupting services? I think we have to look in two places, and whether that's doable or not is, I'm sure, will be part of the discussion next Tuesday. We can take, as Supervisor Miller suggested, about $8.5 million from flood control and delay those projects till the following budget year.
Would that put any of us in that district, and I'm in that district, in number District 1, at any risk during the monsoon?
We're always at risk. We're always at risk during the monsoon.
Yes.
But a number of the projects that were on board that were included in that $8.3 million are in District 1 and are in areas like I think Canyon CDO Wash, some other areas where we absolutely need to shore up the banks and make sure we don't have flooding downstream.
Okay, so that's $8.5 million. You're $1.5 million short now.
I think then if we look at, rather than a hiring freeze, which again, I think Sheriff Napier was concerned about, looking at eliminating some what are called PCNs, personnel or position control numbers, because many departments have them, they're budgeted, but they're not filled, and so they use that money for other purposes, or to fill in blanks in their budget or for emergencies that might come up during the course of the year. I'm thinking, you know, maybe if we eliminated some PCNs, we might get there. Or maybe if we just imposed something, and not something I normally would support, but maybe a 1%, ask all the departments to find 1% out of their budget and cut it.
Okay.
That might be doable. So I think there are, you know, there are some points we can discuss next Tuesday, see if we can get there. But again, I want to make the point that we are cutting the primary rate by 7 cents. And I think it's important to note, we're always compared to Maricopa County. Maricopa County kept their property tax rate the same. They did not cut. If they had cut, they could have gotten to a tax neutral levy. They chose not to, and instead use the money that they collected for capital projects. And they, you know, in their general fund, that was $38 million.
When was the last time Pima County had a tax neutral budget?
We've had, over the last 6 years, 4 times.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds like you're kind of moving in the right direction. One thing I did pick up, you're very happy about the fact that there's kind of across the aisle things going on here with Supervisor Christie and Supervisor Miller.
I think we're having very productive discussions across party lines that benefit the residents of this community. You know, it's time to stop the partisan politics and start thinking about what's good for all of our residents. And I think the conversation has been civil, it's been productive, and I'm hoping that continues next Tuesday.
We have less than 90 seconds. Matt, I will put you on the air, but you're going to have to make the question really, really fast. Matt, are you on?
Yeah, real quickly, I think that you might want to look at the Golden Pin Lanes building project or any other building project in lieu of getting it from flood control money. And I compliment you all on, you know, the work you've been doing. And if you can get there, we appreciate it as the property owners. Thank you.
Thanks, thank you, ma'am. Regarding Golden Pins, we've already written the check and we're moving along. But over the course of that project, we're actually going to be saving the county somewhere in the neighborhood of $4 million. So, but you're right, we could look at other projects as well and see what could be delayed in terms of capital spending. So thanks for that, Matt.
All right, Supervisor Bronson, thank you very much. Before we go to the break, I want to tell people about one of my favorite areas of the Southwest, and this is Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, which is it's about a three-hour drive. Sharon Bronson, I know you know that area. You love New Mexico, right?
I love New Mexico. I Silver City, Santa Fe, Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good stomping grounds all.
Yeah, and you've had personal ties over in the land of enchantment.
I certainly do have a daughter and a grandson over there.
There you go. So it certainly is a good getaway, especially when you think of the elevation of Silver City, 5,500 to 7,000 feet. It means it's going to be cooler, and that's always a welcome thing this time of year. SouthwestNewMexico.org is their website. A complete list of places to stay, and there's some really nice places in Silver City to stay, and all sorts of recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's the midway point on the Buckmaster Show. We have Martha McSally, United States Senator, calling in from the nation's capital on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Sharon Bronson, thank you very much for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Join hundreds of other Arizona businesses who have chosen to put kids first. The Corporate Tax Credit Scholarship Program's deadline is June 30th. Eligible businesses will receive a dollar-for-dollar tax credit. IBE, a school tuition organization, is ready to help. Talk to your accountant today. A one-minute application to IBE and we take care of the rest. IBE works with over 290 diverse schools, awarding 95% of all corporate donations to low-income and disabled students. Deadline, June 30th. azcorporatetax.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We've been here since the first week in January 2011 with the Buckmaster Show. 8.5 years, pushing toward 9 full years on the radio with the radio project. Let's go now to Washington. U.S. Senator Martha McSally is with us on the live line. Senator McSally, how are you?
Hey, Bill. I'm doing great. I'm just off the Senate floor and just casted my vote for the additional money for the border crisis. So good to be on. Haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. What will that money go specifically for, please?
So it's specifically for the additional resources required for the current crisis. A lot of it is humanitarian. It's for shelter and feeding and transportation and medical care for the surge that's happening on the border. It also provides more immigration judges and some grants to local communities like we've had in Arizona who have been overwhelmed. So it doesn't solve the root cause of the crisis, but this has been draining our frontline officers. They're pulling from ports of entry. You know, they're maxed on overtime. They're maxed on their ability to transport and house and feed these individuals as they keep coming. So this puts a Band-Aid on it and gets them those resources. And we still have to solve the deeper problem, though.
Well, we had a lot of comments, folks, when they heard you were going to be on the show via Twitter, the Buckmaster at Buckmaster Show, and Facebook, my Facebook account. Everett saw that picture on the front page of the New York Times today, like millions of other people. Horrible picture of that, the dead father with the with his daughter face down in the Rio Grande. And Everett asks, would you please ask Congress or Senator McSally what's being done for those immigrant children?
It is awful and tragic what has happened to those two and then the others who have made the treacherous journey and the children that we now have many indications are being recycled back to Central America to take the dangerous journey again. People usually giving everything they have or a promissory note to the cartels. We have got to stop this flow from happening. And I have simple legislation with Lindsey Graham. We're asking the Democrats to give us their ideas to close some of these loopholes that's essentially incentivizing the trafficking of children right now up from Central America. So we have to do that. It is a humanitarian and a security issue. And I really hope the Democrats will come to the table so we can stop this.
Are you urging the president to hold off on these immigration raids that I understand had been planned in at least 10 American cities? What's your take on that, please?
Well, law enforcement is happening all the time. And at the federal level, you know, those who have had their day in court and been through due process, often the priority are those who have a criminal history. I mean, that is happening. It happened under the Obama administration. Their job is to enforce the law. Our job is to make the law. And so what I see is the opportunity here is for Democrats to work with Lindsey Graham and myself to bring their ideas, to tell us what they don't like about our legislation that simply closes the loopholes that are being taken advantage of, that are creating this crisis. And I hope we can move something forward in a bipartisan way as soon as possible. The administration, again, enforces the laws, and we need to fix the laws.
The president tweeted his complete and total endorsement of you on Tuesday. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I'm in the Capitol right now, Bill, so I can't talk about the campaign. I'm on federal property, so maybe we can come back at another time related to that. I just got to stay in my lane here.
Okay, so that means you can't talk about a potential challenger in your primary?
Unfortunately, I can't. I'm literally in the United States Capitol right now in my official capacity, so I'm unable to speak on the politics and campaign stuff by the laws of the land.
Well, you were over at the White House, and you were talking about, I believe there was an event yesterday about the president signed an executive order to establish a White House counsel on eliminating some of these regulatory barriers to affordable housing. As I see it, Arizona, I think, has one of the worst states for affordable housing.
Yes, absolutely. When I took a 15-county tour in my first 90 days as a senator, One of the top issues that came to me in both rural and urban areas is affordable housing, workforce housing, housing prices for, you know, young families wanting to live the American dream, which includes buying your first house. The economy is doing well, but the prices keep going up. And a lot of times it is the overburdensome regulations at all levels of government. The estimate is about 25% of the cost of your house is related to these regulations. So this council is going to take a look at streamlining where we can at the federal level and also incentivizing localities and states to remove that burden so that more people can get access to affordable housing. This is really important for Arizona, and I'm glad I was invited to be a part of it.
I had another tweet that came in. When are you going to do some town hall meetings in Tucson?
Yeah, so I represent the whole state now, and I do meetings all the time with my constituents in our office. I go out and meet in local communities and events and touring things. I represent nearly 7 million people now. So when I'm back in Arizona, which is I get out of here all the time, I'm tirelessly spending my time around constituents. So reach out to my office if you'd like me to come visit a place, and I'm happy to have that conversation. My staff can meet with you. We do everything we can in order to make sure I'm grounded with what is the top issues of my constituents so that I can come back and deploy here and fight for them.
What's going on with health care at this point, Senator McSally?
Well, thanks for bringing that up. That is also the top issue I heard in my 15-county tour right now. The cost of prescription drugs, the cost of health insurance, the out-of-pocket costs, surprise medical bills. This is something that every person and family has a story about. So we're working on some bipartisan legislation, one, to stop surprise medical bills. You know, say you went and had a procedure, and then all of a sudden, a couple months later, you get a bill, you know, the anesthesiologist was out of your network. Nobody is going to know that at the time, and it's unfair to have that burden come to you. So we've got to stop that. We're working on that. Also, some initiatives to lower the cost of prescription drugs, providing more competition, getting generics to market faster so that we don't have these monopolies, you know, in the pharmaceutical industry. And more that we can do so people have transparency and choice, and they can shop around for lower cost options. So there's some bipartisan potential there, and I hope we can move some things forward in the next months to address these out-of-pocket costs.
What about pre-existing conditions?
We absolutely need to protect people with pre-existing conditions. These were just fear tactics in the past. We are not going back to where we were, where many of us know someone who couldn't get health insurance because they had diabetes or they were a cancer survivor. So any path going forward has got to guarantee that people with pre-existing conditions can get access to health insurance. The reality is right now, though, Bill, is I meet people all the time right now who have pre-existing conditions who can't get access to affordable health insurance or pay for their medications that they need for them or their family. So just because, you know, the Obamacare said it was protecting that doesn't mean that that's the reality for a lot of Arizonans right now. So let's stop playing games with the fear tactics and figure out how to provide more transparency and lower costs so that people with pre-existing conditions and people who are cancer survivors, I just met with some this morning, that they can make sure that they can afford their treatment and they have access to the care that they need.
All right, Senator McSally, we're going to take a break right here. Please stick around. We want to talk about the situation in Iran. So that will be my first topic to bring up with Senator McSally on the Buckmaster Show. We'll take our break right here. 790-2040, if you have any questions. As Senator McSally pointed out, she is at the Capitol, so she can't take any questions regarding the upcoming election. But if you have any questions about any topics about immigration, the situation with foreign affairs, 790-2040. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Senator Martha McSally with us on the live line from the Capitol. Glenn Hammer of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce put out a news release a few minutes ago. Senator, the Congress should move quickly to ratify the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement that solidify North America's position as the global the globe's most competitive economic region. How is that coming, the USMCA, or as some have referred to it, NAFTA Lite or NAFTA 2.0?
Well, Bill, I totally support the passage of the USMCA. We need it passed immediately. It has to start in the House. So I'd encourage everybody to call your members of Congress, especially those in the majority, the Democrats, to put pressure on Nancy Pelosi to bring up that vote. I believe if it was brought up today, it would pass. I know it would pass by a strong bipartisan vote in the Senate. This is so important for Arizona jobs, over 200,000 Arizona jobs and opportunities for us to grow our economy even more. So we need them to move forward and bring this up for a vote.
What's the delay?
You'd have to ask Nancy Pelosi. I mean, I've seen reports in the press, and as I talk to some of my Democrat colleagues, you know, they have some political concerns about how some things are viewed on enforcement of labor provisions and other things in Mexico. The agreement is not going to get opened up again. It was already it was just ratified in Mexico. It's time for us to move forward and ratify this and stop playing politics with it. And get it across the finish line. I think, are concerned that the quote-unquote, she doesn't want to give the president a win. This is about giving the American people a win, and this is why people are frustrated with Washington.
Had a call, a gentleman named Bill wanted to know about water. How do we protect Arizona's rights with the Colorado River from other states in the basin taking our water?
Well, yeah, thanks. The Colorado River actually provides water to 7 states and Mexico, 40 million people. And I actually led the drought contingency plan legislation for the Colorado River. I worked it with Grijalva leading in the House, and we were able to get that legislation signed into law after all the hard work that the stakeholders in Arizona did. to address the issue of the drought and make sure that draconian cuts didn't come to Arizona from the federal government. So we still have to do more. I'm introducing legislation today, rebuild our infrastructure, to provide more options to rebuild our infrastructure and keep water affordable and have that resiliency. You know, we're out in the desert. We're growing as an economy, and water is certainly a part of our future. I chair the Water and Power Subcommittee. We just had a hearing today, actually. And so I'm going to keep fighting at the federal level for what we need for Arizona's water future. But the drought contingency plan was a really big win for us.
All right. We're going to honor your wishes. I know you have to get going, but we've got one more quick question. If you could summarize what we started with about the vote that was taken on about the border. Could you just summarize that, please?
Yes. So just voted yes on the supplemental border funding. This is going to provide over $4.5 billion of funding relief to our frontline officers and agents and humanitarian relief for the crisis at the border. So this is really important that we work out our differences with the House and get it on the president's desk as soon as possible to get the relief to communities and agents that are out there right now dealing with this border crisis.
Senator McSally, thanks a lot. Good catching up with you.
Thanks a lot, Bill. See you soon.
Thanks very much. Now let's go to On the Live Line, Keith Rosenblum, who covers Mexico for us. On the Buckmaster Show, Keith, you were on the Live Line. Keith, you did hear Senator McSally saying $4.5 billion for border relief. I also heard that Mexico is sending their National Guard, some of the National Guard, up to Sonora. What do you know about that?
I'd heard the same thing, and actually I'm en route to the Arizona-Mexico Commission meeting in Phoenix, and that's where Governor Pablo Vich from Sonora, Governor Ducey will be there tomorrow and Friday. And so there'll be a lot of state and federal people, so it'll be interesting to catch up on what's going on from the state standpoint. There'll be a couple of people there from the federal government, but this is all new territory. And I think that what makes me pause is that there ought to be, we ought to have somebody probably from the UN High Commissioner on whatever it's called, human rights, or because what you're going to have you have resettlement issues and refugee issues that other countries have dealt with for years. There are some societies, you take Israel for an example, that they're accustomed to receiving people, and there's a kind of a transition period for any number of people when they're flooded with refugees. Same thing in Europe, when you had the Africans showing in the boats or the Syrians. So what surprises me is how caught off guard we are by all this. There have been reports of people wanting to drop off relief supplies, for example, at ICE storage facilities where people are being held onto, and they can't take them. There's no one set up to do it. So it seems to me that what's lacking in this entire equation is the people who have already gone through this in Europe, in the Middle East, in Africa, that could make this a much smoother transition. I understand anytime you have large numbers of refugees, you're going to have problems and you're going to have lack of facilities. But I think we got completely blindsided by our lack of preparation here.
You know, that picture, Keith, on the front page of the New York Times, I just can't get that out of my mind. If people haven't seen that, of the father and looks like about a 4 or 5 year old child, his daughter, face down in the water on the Rio Grande. It reminds me of a photograph a couple of years ago. I think it was like in the Mediterranean of a child, an immigrant. And it's just heartbreaking, isn't it?
What you have is you have a lot of people. It's an interesting phenomenon. If you forget about nationalities or forget about religions, forget about geography for one second, and you have a lot of people saying we have rules and we have to abide by rules.
Right.
And if the byproduct of our rules are deaths like this, if the byproduct of our rules are invading the sanctity of a home or of a church or a synagogue or whatever, in other words, at a certain point, again, it reminds me, it's so funny how you can have so many things come down to, you can express them in modern day terms or in even cartoons. And I'm thinking about Roadrunner and Coyote, where you have Coyote pursuing Roadrunner, and the psychologist view on this, from some standpoints anyway, is that Coyote long ago forgot what the mission was. But you pursue Roadrunner because that's what you do, and right. That's what your job description is. And what I see unfolding in front of me with these plans for deportation, with these things that are unfolding, are lots of people who are abiding by rules and who can go home and in good conscience say, hey, I followed the rules today, and a total lack of humanitarian spirit and people saying, you know what? The rules weren't made for that, or we're going to go ahead and adapt them to the circumstances of June or July of 2019. That's the part that freaks me, is that we've got so many people following rules, and the casualties are going to be many like that, you know, iconic photo.
Keith Rosenblum with us on the live line. Keith is our contributor on Mexico, and he's on his way at this very moment up to Phoenix for the Arizona-Mexico Commission meeting. I asked Senator McSally about when are we going to get this United States-Mexico-Canada agreement. When's it going to be approved? And we've had the Mexican Senate finalize the deal in Mexico by a wide margin. You think eventually this is going to get done, Keith Rosenblum?
You know, the on the merits, the answer is it should be done tomorrow. It already should have been done. But the way that the Congress works today is this. You have your needs, Bill, as a conservative Republican from that state. I have my needs as a liberal Democrat from that other state. And so you have so much horse trading going on that a lot of the integrity of the legislation is lost anyway. And so if you ask what would be logical or prudent and economically, you know, sound and give people the predicates to make decisions about investment, the answer is it would already be approved by both of our houses. If you ask me whether it will be held hostage by the Republicans or the Democrats, and as all these other issues are going on, as we're looking at, you know, cutting or trying to keep the president from declaring unilaterally attacking Iran, you wind up with lots of legislation being held hostage, not because of the merits of the legislation, but because there's other things that are in the equation that get put on the auction block in the people's zeal to prove other points. So it's a freaky way to run a country, but that's where we are. Again, we're a country where so many things are 51-49 that it makes me wonder sometimes whether we're going to end up being like a Quebec, where every so often they say, hey, should we just secede? And they have another vote, and it winds up being another 51-49 vote or 49-51. I just don't know. But again, on the merits of that legislation, it ought to have passed already. What we're going to do, who knows?
All right, Keith, it's good talking with you as you head up to Phoenix to the Arizona-Mexico Commission meeting. Do they meet monthly, Keith?
Actually, this is the 60th anniversary. This was started by Governor Fannin and I believe Governor Obregón of Sonora. So go back 60 years, and this is the Arizona-Mexico Commission is held out as being the exemplary attempt by two states to talk directly to each other, even though they can't really do much because relationships between countries are supposed to be handled through Department of State or through federal authorities. But this is a very cool way that people of two states can say, hey, it doesn't look as if your highway is going to link up to mine, or hey, we're going to have a fishing competition in Guaymas, or isn't that beautiful, that artistry that we saw at Sky Harbor or Tucson Airport? So you have lots of people talking to each other at the levels and, other than federal.
All right. Both places. And that's a good thing. Thanks, Keith. Have a great day.
My pleasure.
That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Bob Dio, I'm Bill Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Be with you back here at 1204 tomorrow.